on Gateway long, or for any short amount of time, I think, too, you hear me say what we're all about. We're about one thing, and that's making disciples. Last week, I launched a series called Why. Why do we do what we do? So last week, we talked about why are we called to be a part of a faith community like this right here? And you're here. I believe that Jesus, when we come to him, we become part of the universal church, but I believe that Jesus calls us to be a part of a faith community like Gateway so that we can together accomplish his purposes, and that's to go into all the world and make disciples. This is what the Bible says. This is the one thing that we are about. This is the one thing we hammer away at, making disciples of all ages here, there, and everywhere. So when you read the Bible is all about the story of Jesus, his coming, right? And calling people to himself, a relationship to himself and to the Father, making disciples. It calls us to go everywhere. So every now and then, we describe it this way. He calls us to make disciples here, there, and everywhere. So where do you think here is? Okay, that's easy. Yeah, it's easy. It's here, right? It's our local community here. And then we often focus on and hear people on the everywhere, right? So everywhere is globally. So we're involved in works in West Africa and India and so on and so on and so on. So here, there, and everywhere. But what about the there? What about the there? Well, the there is a regional outreach. And so he calls us here, there, and everywhere. And Gateway has a regional outreach in a place called Linden. Now, how many have ever gone through Linden? How many have, you don't even know where Linden is? Oh, okay. Well, we're part of a church plant up there. And Pastor Ron Johnson is leading that. She's the lead pastor, and she's coming in just a moment. We partnered with Ron and her husband Riley and their family. Gosh, has it been a couple years ago now, something like that? I'm somewhere around there. And to plant a church in this community called Linden, and Ron stepped forward, and they stepped forward, and we're partnering with them. So you're making a difference for some of you in a community that you've never been to. And so why do we go there? Because Jesus calls us to do so. And Pastor Ron is coming right now. And I'd like for you to give her, some of you have already met her, but give her a great big Gateway welcome. Will you do that?
Thank you. I remember the day when my then boyfriend, now husband, because I locked it down, took me to Linden, where he grew up, to meet his parents for their first time. And when we were driving on what I call the longest road ever, it's about 9 miles, I think. That's a Pentecostal estimate. I just remember saying to him in the car, "I will never live here." And I was like, "It smells like poop. There is no Target. There is no Nordstrom's. It smells like poop. What is that?" And he goes, "Oh, that's cow manure. It smells like money." And I was like, "No, my money has never smelled like that." But I was just so set on never living in Linden. Now I lead a church there, live there, raising my tiny typhoons there. And one of the things that I noticed as I was preparing for this sermon and praying through it is that obedience to God will always be greater and matter more than all of our never statements. Will you bow your heads and pray with me? Jesus, I thank you so much for your goodness, so much for your faithfulness. God, I pray that as I share the message that you have put on my heart, that I would not get in the way of what you want to do. I pray, Lord, that we would leave challenged and convicted to continue to participate in the Great Commission. I thank you for Gateway, and I thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm continuing the series, Why We Plant Churches. But I thought I would start off with all the things that I said I would never do and that I'm doing. One of them, it smells like poop up there, never wanted to live in Linden. I never wanted to be a lead pastor. I never wanted to plant a church. I never wanted to have daughters because I grew up in a home where I was abused and neglected, and I was so scared to have children and daughters because I didn't want them to be like me, because me was broken and never good enough. I never wanted to raise kids in the church, and in fact, while we were worshiping, I remember that when I was in high school, I never wanted to be a Christian because Christians were the people who told you what to do, but surprisingly, don't do a lot of it themselves. So I just remember saying, I will never do this. And then I radically encountered Jesus, and I realized that the only response to the gift of salvation is obedience, because from that place of obedience wells up great joy to participate and do whatever he has called us to do. So all of my never statements have become, this is what I'm doing. So besides it smelling like cow poop, God has a great sense of humor. And so when we were preparing for this message, I'll be hundo P, guys. I did not want to write this message. I was sitting down with my laptop, and I had my cup of tea, and I was just going, and then I was just like, hey, do you want to go look at carpet? Because I was that desperate not to write this message. Who wants to go look at carpet? Me in that moment. And then I was like, what do you want to do tonight? What do you want to do for dinner? And my husband, bless him, he's incredible, goes, babe, you got to write your message. And like a child, I sat there like, but I don't want to. I was like, do you want to go watch a movie? We can finish The Office. What do you think? Anything. And he goes, no, you got to write your message. And why I wrestled with writing the message about why we plant churches is because still in my mind as a church planter, I think when I hear church planting, I think about putting up more buildings. So I want to pivot our conversation from the idea that church planting is putting up more buildings, building more churches, physical churches. I want us to think about church planting as the sending of God's people so that they could gather there, grow there, and send people out from there. Because what we are all called to do is participate in the Great Commission. So in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So the last thing Jesus tells his disciples in the book of Matthew was go and make disciples. This idea was that we are going, it is a progress, it is progression, that we are doing these things. We are going out to make disciples there, baptizing them and teaching them. That is what we are all called to do. It is not left to just professional pastors. It is for every person that calls Jesus Christ Lord and Savior. It is for every person that says, Jesus saved me. He gave me the gift of salvation. And in response to that incredible gift, my response is obedience. And that obedience is to fulfill the Great Commission. So why do we plant churches? Why do we send people out? Why do we create gatherings that we might never actually visit? It's because there are so many people who do not know Jesus. And we are called to go and tell him. And here's the thing is that Jesus promised he'll be with us. Because in these set of verses, what you see is Jesus first establishes his authority in heaven and on earth, that we do not sit on this side of eternity wondering if our God has won. He has won. So we get to live and operate in that authority. So he establishes his authority. And then he gives us authority to go with authority in us, through us, to go into the world, to share the thing that has radically changed our life. And then he ends it with, I promise you, I will be with you. That God isn't a God that sets creation into motion and goes, deuces, you're on your own. I didn't give birth to my children and be like, helpless little human beings, you're on your own now. Changing diapers with both hands, easier than one hand. Good luck. No, God creates us. He desires to be with us. And even in his son Jesus, he is with us as we go and do the work of God. Because it is not God with us as we do ministry. It is not ministry. It is programs. And we have enough of that. So we go and we make disciples. We plant churches. We send out gatherings because we are actively participating in the kingdom work that embeds itself into every part of our life. That our soul begins to sing because it is doing what it was meant to do, which is to sing glory to God and point people to Jesus. I'm the kind of girl, I don't know if you picked up on this yet, I get real excited about things. Real excited. And when I find something I love, you better bet I will let you know. Tub Shroom changed my life. And by my life, my husband's life, because he was the one cleaning the hair out of the what is that thing called in your shower, the clogger thing? The drain. See, that's how much I know. Found that thing, bought it, told everybody to buy it. I found a paint can opener and thought that was the coolest thing ever. You can open boxes with it. You can open cans with it. You, if you needed to protect yourself in a dark parking lot, it's a shiv. Like, I'm from the ghetto. So I was like, look at how versatile this is. When I eat at a restaurant and it's good, I eat my way through a town. I will let you know. Because I'm so excited with these hand motions and these volumes. And that's how I feel about the gospel. Is I am so excited that Jesus took an angry, abused little girl and said, I will make you a preacher. That I will take what the world has broken and I will restore it because I love you. And he does that for each of us. So will we not respond in excitement to go and tell of what Jesus has done in our life? We have the greatest gift ever, and so for some reason we're hoarding it. We have this gift and we keep it in church buildings and we tell people, you've got to come here. Instead of us going out there. Because that is the commission, that is the call, that is what we need to be doing. So we plant churches, we send out gatherings because there are so many people who need to know. And we are called to go. That was my introduction. And I remember there was this day, I was a kids pastor, and I'm a lighted up on fire kind of girl. I'm a spiritual pyro. And I was just like, what am I doing with all this? Light it up on fire. That is not wisdom. But I remember crying out to God because I was like, I'm a kids pastor. What do I do? I like my kids, and I like a select few other children. But what am I supposed to do? And the Lord said, you will see revival. Revival is coming. And I kind of feel uncomfortable saying that with these hand motions because I want to say I think revival is coming because I don't want to fully commit. I don't want to fully commit to this because if it doesn't, I'm looking crazy, more crazy. But the idea is that what Jesus spoke to me in that time, what that moment was that revival is coming. You will see cities and nations just laid out in repentance and in worship because the Spirit of God will pour out so greatly, more than we have ever seen. The Spirit of God will pour out afresh. Revival is coming. And I was like, that had nothing to do with kids ministry. Lord, the original question, what am I doing as a kids pastor? And he said, your children will usher in the move of God. Your children will be the ones leading revival. Your children will be the preachers and teachers and prophets. Your children will do this. And then I said, just a thought again, like, but that doesn't answer the question, what am I supposed to be doing? And it was, you will teach them. Your generation will teach them how to preach the word of God, how to engage with the Spirit of God, not just to know him, but to experience him into the very fiber of their being, that when they experience the presence of God and abide and align with him, what they will recognize is nothing in the world will satisfy them the way the presence of God does. Because when our presence meets God's presence, something inside of our very being says, I am home. So you will teach them. Because we are the church. This physical place is a church building, but you, me, we, us, people who say that Jesus Christ is this, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, who people who profess Christ, we are the church. And we are called to go out. We are called to raise up the next generation to be greater than we could ever be. Here's the thing. I want my daughters to preach better than I ever can. I want them to see miracles greater than I can ever believe for. That is our duty. It's to teach them what we have been taught. But here's the thing. We want them to be greater because revival is coming. You see, the thing about church is that growing and thriving churches are filled with the Spirit of God. Growing and thriving Christians are filled with the Spirit of God. You could sit in a church that does not make you a Christian. You could sit in a garage that does not make you a car. But it is the very Spirit of God that is in us, moving through us to go out there, because that is what Jesus promised us. That is where we grow and we thrive. So in John 14, 15 through 17, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. He says, if you obey me, if you love me, obey my commandments. Parenting 101. If you love me, dear child, put on your pants. The windows are open. If you love me, feed your dog, the one that you wanted, but somehow he's mine. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give to you, he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, he who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him. It doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. I like how the Amplified translation puts it. If you really love me, you will keep and obey my commandments. We could spend all day long on that bad boy, but we won't. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, to be with you forever. And the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive and take to its heart, because it doesn't see him or know him, but you know him, because he, the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually and will be in you. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, dwells within believers. And one of the things that I have noticed, if you read the entire biblical narrative, you have God in the garden with Adam and Eve. And one of the descriptions of what it was like in the garden is that he would walk amongst them in the cool of the night. And that was supposed to connotate this deep intimacy, where there is no shame, where there is no sin, there's no brokenness. It was just a oneness. But Adam and Eve made some bad decisions, and here we are. There was a breaking in oneness. And then you have to see God speaking to people, and then he commands the people of God to build the tabernacle. The tabernacle, aka a decked out mobile tent, is only the tabernacle because of the Spirit of God. Then he has them build the temple, a physical place, permanent place. And it is only the temple because of the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God is not in there, it's just a sweet building. The church is filled with the Spirit of God, moving in it through us to go out there. And then after you have the temple, the tabernacle, you have Jesus, fully God, fully man, coming to earth as the most vulnerable being, a baby. Have any of y'all watched some, animal birthing videos? I promise this will make sense. In Linden, if I ask that, they'll be like, yeah, like last night. But if you've ever seen, a giraffe or an elephant give birth, they give birth to a baby elephant or a baby giraffe. Apparently, those are the only two examples of animals giving birth. They give birth, and then an hour later, that giraffe is just up and walking around with his ganky little legs, like, hey, what's up? I'm here. 1 hour later, my daughter didn't walk until 18 months. I had her little sister when she was 13 months. She was 10 pounds. Yes. Bodies are miracles. My children will be dependent on me. And Jesus chooses to come in the most vulnerable state, fully God, fully man, to walk amongst the creation. And then when he dies and resurrects, the promise is that I'll still be with you. In fact, the Holy Spirit will be in you. So these things that we call bodies are mobile temples. And mobile temples represent the Spirit of God, the move of God, the story of God out there. This is a physical church. But we are the church. And we as the church need to start doing what the church was meant to do, which is to go and make disciples. Because I don't know about you, there are way too many people I know, love, who do not know Jesus. And I'm not hoping the second coming comes anytime soon. Because if I am to believe what I know I believe, it means that they will spend eternity separated from the very presence of God. And ain't nobody got time for that. I need to go tell them about Jesus. So we plant churches, not build more buildings, but we send out churches, mobile temples, us. We go out there and we gather out there and we grow out there and they go from there. With the promise and the authority that is given us through Christ Jesus, that is what we do. So if you ask me, oh, why do we plant churches? We plant churches because there are so many people who need to know. There are so many people who do not know that Jesus loves them. What stands apart to me in this, as we are reading this scripture, is the promise, I am with you. I am with you. But somehow we forget the withness. We forget how intimate that is. We think God has abandoned us sometimes. But Jesus is like, nah, I am with you. I promise you this. I am with you until the end of the age. We plant churches, we send out people, because that is us actively participating in the Great Commission to go and make disciples. We plant churches because that is a way our soul embeds itself into the eternal story of what Jesus is doing. We plant churches because the only natural and supernatural response to the very gift of salvation is obedience, and that obedience is to go and make disciples. Most of you will never come to Linden. I hope you do. We have really good ice cream. I don't even like ice cream, but I eat it because I'm to be one with the people. Sobbing, like, I don't even like this. But I know it's fresh because there's the actual farm and there's the creamery. And we are not a micro batch kind of people. We are the efficient. All right? There's no micro batches that are cool and hip. It's like, put it all in. But up in Linden, most of you will probably never be in Linden. But because of the faithfulness and the goodness of this partnership that we have with Gateway, Tom and Dave are my pastors. I'm not asking the people of my church to submit to a spiritual authority if I'm not willing to submit under their spiritual authority. That Tom and Dave, when we connect several times a month, they will say to me, you know, how's your marriage? How's your family? They'll ask me that before they even care about metrics. How many people tithe? How many people were there? How many chairs were broken? How many poop stains on the wall? You know, metrics that matter. But they're like, how's your family? That when we were in the process of church planting and kind of deciding what that looked like, we had several conversations with several churches about what it would look like for them to be our parent church. But when I met with Tom and Dave, and the way that they came around me and loved me and supported the vision and like that God has given me for house churches, something just confirmed that this was what God was doing. So you already have sent me out. So if you want to know, every week on a Thursday night, I have 25 to 30 people gather in my home where we share a meal, we teach from the Bible, we fellowship, we pray together, and we love each other well. We spend zero money on marketing. I don't have signs. It's just if you want this gathering to grow, if you think this is cool, go and tell people and bring them here. In fact, why don't you just go into your neighborhood and tell them there and gather them into your house? We have already participated and will continue to participate in the Great Commission. And you've done it with New Legacy Linden. You've done it with our family. And I just want to say thank you so much. Because of all the things that I never wanted to do, be a lead pastor, be a church planter, raise kids in the church, live in Linden, Lord help me. I'm just kidding, I actually love it now. Be a Christian. God saw it fit to turn that all on its head. So thank you. Thank you for already participating. And thank you for continuing to participate, that when you go out into the places that you work and have influence, when you go into your schools, you are to go out there and make disciples. You are to go out there and preach the good news of Jesus. You are to go out there and do that and gather there. We have come into a time in our cultural history where people will not walk into a church, but they will walk into your home. People will not walk into a church building or a prayer meeting, but they'll meet you for coffee. People will not trust pastors, but they'll trust you because they know you. So go and make disciples, because the only thing that is worthy of what Christ has done is our life of obedience for that gift of salvation. Will you close your eyes and pray with me? Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for your promise that you will always be with us. I thank you for your goodness that you saw it fit to take what the world has broken and you have restored. God, I pray that you would embolden us to go out and make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to teach them what we have learned from you. We thank you that that is the call for all of us. And would we be mobile temples out there, because that is where you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. See, you didn't know, did you? You didn't know that you were going to Linden, did you? Many of you. And yet you are. We are. We believe, and we're working. We've been already in discussions what it looks like to start more home churches in Linden. New Legacy planting other churches. And so we're going to be believing that and working towards that. We're looking forward to the day when some of you will go to Linden.
Ice cream.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And maybe if you've not been there, and help get the word out. So we'll be talking more and more about that. But I'm going to invite us to pray. You'll get to meet Riley if you haven't in days ahead. They make a great team. Riley does all the behind-the-scenes administration, right?
Bless him.
Of all those things. He's an incredible part of what God is doing up there. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the two girls on has this unique ability to connect with people. And the things that they're doing there are things that are drawing people. And Dave and I sat in their church up there and just listened to the stories. We asked this question, what has brought you here? Some of them disenfranchised with church, right? Mm-hmm. And some of them have stepped out. Some of them knew. It's just amazing what Jesus is doing, and you're a part of that. On sends out a regular newsletter. If you'd like to be a part of her prayer team and what's going on up there, that connect card that's in front of you, use that. Put your name down and your email address and then hand it to her. She'll be down front here. She'll be floating around. You won't have a hard time finding where she is.
I don't know what that means.
Sorry about that. This means just listen. Cool, cool, anyway, cool. I'll, kidding. I'm just joking. Anyway, no, I'm not. But so fill out
smell
that card.
Smell the money.
Yeah, that's right. Fill out that card. Just give her your info. And if you'd like to talk more about how you can be a part, you can do that. But we're going to pray. And we're going to pray God's blessing upon On and Riley and the two girls and the church called New Legacy up in Linden. And this is just the beginning.
That's what they say.
Yeah, it is. And Linden's not an easy community to get into, right? I mean, you've said it before. If you're not Dutch, you're not much, right?
Yeah. And I look super Dutch, so yeah, guys, don't worry. I'm in like eight. Yeah,
and you're not Dutch, so anyway. But God is moving.
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad you're part of Linden? Yeah, we are. Let's stand
together,
shall
now.
We? We're going to pray together. So let's stand together. Let's just pray and just reach out your hands, will you? Let's just pray and for On and for Riley and the girls and the church in Linden. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can be a part of what you're doing throughout the world. Yes. Sometimes I think, God, if we were to really be honest, it's just about our own world and kind of what you're doing here. But God, it's not. You've called us to be a part of what you're doing in the world here, there, and everywhere. And I'm so thankful that we as a faith community can connect with this church in Linden, with the church plants that we get to be a part of. And God, we're thankful for what you're doing in the lives that have already been changed and those who are yet will be changed, those who will come to faith, come to know you and be discipled. So we pray for On, pray for Riley, pray for the girls. Pray for the church, Lord, that they will make a huge impact for your kingdom in this community called Linden. Pray your blessing over them. Each time they gather, pray for a sense of your presence, Lord, to be so dynamic and so real. God, you will draw people in and then send them out. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. On will be down front here or in the back or somewhere. Look for her. Next week, we're continuing our series. We're answering this question, why we do what we do. So come on out, bring somebody, bring your Bibles. Thank you. God bless you. Have a great week.